So how many know what I'm going to talk about today? Everybody say ripe. Okay. Let's say it five times. Ripe, 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 ripe. And if you're here for the first time or you're not sure what ripe is, we have the cheat sheet up here. Ripe means, let's say it together, read, invite, pray, expect. And that is a plan that I believe that God gave me for the beginning of the year, and we are going to execute that plan. So I trust that you're reading, I trust that you're inviting, I trust that you're praying. Today we're going to talk about expect, and you say, oh, I missed pray. No, we're going to talk about pray too. It's kind of not that way that, although I did go over read first and invite, but I'm going to go back to invite, and I'm going to go back to read, and I'm going to go all over the place. And but today, I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to talk to you about the importance of expectation and the criticalness of expectation, and actually for us to examine really what we're expecting, and really, to be honest with you, our trust level. See, I'll show you some things in the Word of God, but God just wants us to put our trust in Him. And that is exercised, everybody say exercised, or that is seen in our obedience. You know how come I know that you trust the seats that you're sitting in? Because you're sitting in them. Amen? See, I know that you trust that those seats are going to sustain your weight because you're sitting in them. Your action shows me really what you believe. Oh, that's good. Your actions show me what you really believe. How many know your actions? You ever heard this? Our actions speak louder than words. And your actions are neon lights flashing to what you really believe or what you really don't believe. Does this make sense? So I want to go over some passages that I think will help us to recognize the importance of Christians believing. See, there's a passage in Matthew, and Jesus says, in the final day, when God is separating the wheat from the chaff or the goats from the sheep, the Bible says many will say in those days, Lord, in other words, God's going to put them on the goat side, and those goat people are going to think they're sheep people. Yeah. And they're going to be like, God, you made a mistake. How many know God doesn't make mistakes? And so there is a mistake made, but the mistake that was made was that we didn't, weren't obedient to do what God asked us to do. Let me tell you what, wherever you ended up in eternity, I guarantee you, I'll show it to you in the Word, that is your responsibility. It's not, listen, if you don't end up with God forever in heaven, it's not because God didn't choose you. Amen, amen, amen. It's not because God didn't choose you. God loves everyone. Jesus died for everyone. God's will is that none perish. That's why he sent his son. Because even though it would cost him, you know what, the death of his son to die on a cross, even though it would cost him that much, you were worth it. And people who don't even, listen to me, people who won't even open up their hearts to God, they're worth it. Amen. But we have to recognize and realize that the Bible says, Jesus said, how many believe Jesus can't lie? Here's what he said. How many know believe that Jesus is accurate in his assessments? Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says that in that day, many will say. Now, I don't know what many means, but many means not a few. How many know those are different words? And he picked that prophetically knowing and seeing what was going to happen. And I want to make sure that I encourage you and show you some passages today that are going to help you, that we become believing believers. I said believing believers. Now, let me, because I don't want to get in a theological debate. I understand, or I'll say it like this. I understand that ultimately, to go to heaven, you have to believe. Have to. Amen. What I'm suggesting, and this is somebody's going to think, oh, this is pretty harsh. Well, I'd rather say it now than be before God and say, I never said that to anybody. Wow. Thank you. So here's the deal. Going to church isn't the requirement to go to heaven. Let me just like that soak in a little bit. Going to church isn't the requirement to going to heaven. Now, I'm one of the first who'll tell you, you need to go to church. You need to come. And I tell people, don't get mad at me, I'm just telling you, you need to come Sunday and Wednesday. Amen. And let me tell you why you need, if you're not coming Sunday and Wednesday, make the adjustment in your schedule. Make the adjustment in your schedule. And the reason why you need to come Sunday and Wednesday, here's why. Because we are gathering on Sunday and Wednesday. Yes. I guarantee you, anything that you told me, well, Pastor, I can't because, I guarantee you God wouldn't go, oh, okay. I'm just telling you. And listen, and I know I know it will take adjustment. I know it will take you rearranging your schedule. I'm just saying. One of the reasons why you need to come Sunday and Wednesday is because when you come Sunday and Wednesday, then I'm going to encourage you twice as much as I'm encouraging you if you just come one of those dates. And just so you know, the people who only come Wednesday, guess what I tell them? You need to come Sunday. But here's the deal. The Bible says, and let me put it in context of what it says, that as the day approaches, there is a day approaching. And the Bible says in the last days, men will become, perilous times will come. Guys, as soon as you think that you are the one who never can be taken out, you open up yourself to the enemy. You open up yourself to be taken out. You probably will be the one who's taken out. The Bible says, pride comes before a haughty spirit and destruction before a fall. I'll never. Ooh. Be diligent. Everybody say, be diligent. Yeah. See, the Bible says that we need to act like we are in a warfare. So if the captain's saying we need training on Sunday and Wednesday, then guess what? Then trust your captain. Amen? And listen, and if you don't come Sunday and Wednesday, make an adjustment. I know that many of your schedules you need, but listen, if I had, I'm trying to think, so hard for me to think because I always pick like a singer like way old that a lot of people don't know, but if I had tickets for, I don't know. If I had tickets to your favorite singer and it was on a Wednesday and you're doing something Wednesday, how many know you could make some arrangements? Right? How many know if I had Dodger tickets, you know what, right behind the bullpen, not bullpen, right behind the dugout, front row, you know what I mean? How many know you would probably make some adjustments to, you might have something scheduled, but you would adjust that schedule. Here's what I'm saying. I'm bold enough to say, listen, this is important. This is as important as anything you got going on. I'm not talking about, because I know some people, they are watching loved ones. They're taking care of loved ones. You know what? And I get that. I understand that. But I really can't think of anything except that. And even that is for a period of time. Even that's just for a period of time. All right. But this thought, well, let me show it to you. Let's just jump into the passage, okay? Look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And let's look at verse 17. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." See, there needs to be this changing of how you think, because how you think is going to really make a difference in what you do. So I want you to repent. And Jesus walking by, verse 18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Verse 20, this is an awesome verse. Look at this verse. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Wow. They immediately left their nets, and what did they do? They followed Jesus. That's a phenomenal passage, is it not? Now let me show you another phenomenal passage. Go down to verse 21. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Wow, that's another cool passage, is it not? And you know what I noticed about both passages? It says they immediately. Everybody say they immediately. Immediately. See, sometimes God speaks to us and there's this casualness. There's this thought, well, let me check it out. Let me make sure. Let me ask my why, you know what? You know, let me make sure it fit here. There you go. Let me sure it fits in my schedule. Let me look and see if my finance, let me see if I can afford that. Let me figure out if and we make these judgments, and we're about to, listen to me, we're about to override a commandment that God asked us to do. Anytime that you override a command of God is a bad day for you. How many would raise your hand and recognize that? How many would look back in your life and recognize times that the Holy Spirit was saying, "Don't go there," and you went there anyway? And how did it work out for you? Let me tell you what, it never, ever, 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 ever does, and it never will. But watch this. I love their quickness. I love their willingness to be obedient to what God says immediately. My first point is this. Listen to this. Becoming a follower of Jesus Christ will require you to trust him. Now, I told the first service, I kind of had a problem with this first point because it's so obvious, right? And yet, when I really thought about it, I thought, is it really that obvious? Because here's what I believe. I believe in modern Christianity of 2018, the modern version of Christianity goes like this. Yes, I will be obedient to God in whatever he asks me to do as long as it fits into my agenda. So there's this, you know what? Yes, I'll be obedient to God, but it's got to be on my schedule. It's got to be in my budget. It's got to be in my time frame. It's got to be, you know what? I certainly will not break up with any boyfriend unless I feel like I should. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Or any girlfriend, or give any amount of money. This is all going to be filtered through my intelligence. And if it's okay with me, then I will do it. And the point is this. Understand this, Christians. Understand that the nature of Christianity is this. God is in control, and he'll tell us what to do. And we have a choice. It's not like we don't have a choice. I mean, no, you can be disobedient. But if you're going to walk in the blessings of God, you would be obedient. Right? And I believe that there's a mentality out there where it's where we have really, to be honest with you, just talked about grace so much that there's a out of balanceness of truth. See, grace doesn't negate what the Bible says in Galatians. The Bible tells us, don't be deceived. God won't be mocked. That whatever you sow, you're going to reap. The Bible says, all things are lawful, but all things are not profitable for us. Is this making sense? So this first point is a point that needs to be made. Becoming a follower of Christ is going to require us to put our trust in him. And certainly the nature to understand, put your trust in, you understand there is no, listen, how many know we need to be submitted to God? Let me ask you again. How many know we need to be submitted to God? Well, listen, there is no submission until there is a differencing of wills. The word submission means I don't feel like doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so what happens is there's this, when God is asking you to be obedient to him, many times he's asking knowing what's right for you. How many know God always knows what's right for you? And he always is going to tell you what's best for you. And when he tells you that, what he needs you to do is not say, you know what? No, I know how to do this. I gave you this example a long time ago. I'm getting on the freeway. I'm with Tamara and Megan and the lady that tells you how to go. You know, the GPS lady, right? And she's telling me how to go. And I'm like, no, this. I know directions. She's telling me to go a way that doesn't make sense. Well, yeah, I know directions, but she knows traffic. And my daughter says this. It's so good. My daughter Megan says this. You know, Dad, why don't you do what you tell the people to do at church? Right? What did you do? I just did exactly what that lady told me. And sure enough, I didn't see it, but you know what? She got me on the freeway very quickly. And I was like, oh, I didn't know. Well, see, watch this. That's where it takes your trusting. Everybody say trust. That's where it takes you trusting God, because here's the thing. You said it. I didn't know. Say, I don't know. See, the problem is we think we know, that's pride, but we don't know. So if we just say, if we submit to God's authority, That's when we trust. And here's my point to making these passages. These are four men. They don't know. They don't know everything. See, we get to the place where we want to know everything. You know what I mean? Okay, God, I'm gonna follow you, but first you got to tell me everything. You got to tell me how it's gonna go and what's gonna happen, and hey, you know what I mean? And you know what? What's the benefits? And you know all this detailed stuff. And God's like, really? See, I think when these men just laid down their nets, stopped what they were doing, and just made a decision to follow God, I know that God was so pleased and so blessed. He's just like, man, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. And you say, yeah, but I'm not an apostle. Well, do you think the apostles were called to a different obedience than the disciples? You think God calls some to be really obedient and then some to be just partially obedient? Do you think that? No, but sometimes we do that in our mind. We'll put, you know what, well, hey, you know, they. No, no, no. God is speaking. How many know God is using this passage today to speak to us? Yeah. And what I'm saying is, it really, you know what, we think, the Bible says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. I think we think way too highly of ourselves sometimes. And the reason why I talk about, have you ever been disobedient to God, and then after, when you did what you want to do, it didn't come out the way you wanted it to, what isn't to belittle you, it's for us to remind ourselves how smart God is. Is this making sense? And these guys immediately, they're just quick to obey. They're just quick to do it. They're just quick to say, you know what? Hebrews, watch this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Look what it says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what?
Not seen.
See, you don't have to see it all. My second point is this. God is asking for us to trust him before we see it. Everybody say before we see it. That's the trick. The trick is, will you be willing to trust God to do what he asks you to do, trusting that he loves you and wants the best for you? This is sometimes difficult and sometimes counterintuitive. What's counterintuitive? Counterintuitive is somebody walking on a, you know what, 30-story building, you know what, who's scared of heights. Sometimes I'll just get close to the side of a tall building and I'll think, well, I'm gonna step back here. I don't want to be so close to the side. How many of you like that? That's how I am. You know, but there's things, listen, in our Christian walk, there's things that are counterintuitive. There's part of you that says, no, I don't want to do this, but there's something inside you that says, no, do it. You know what that is? That's that spirit man inside you telling you, no, you can trust God. He won't let you down. You can trust God. My second point, God is asking us to trust him before we see it. Everybody say, before we see it. John chapter 20, starting with verse 24. John chapter 20, starting with verse 24. Look what it says. Now Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. This is the story. Jesus has come back from, resurrected from the dead. But when he came back to see the 12, Thomas wasn't there. So Thomas has heard about it, but he hasn't seen Jesus. Next verse. The other apostles therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. And so he said to them, they're like, hey, we saw him. But Thomas hadn't seen him yet. Now listen to what he says. Listen to his response. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not, leave it right there, I will not believe. Here's what he's saying. Guys, I'm not saying I won't believe, but I'm not going to believe until I see it. I'm not going to believe until I see it. Look at this next verse. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. Now, that God says to Thomas, but that's what God is saying to us. Switch back to it. 27. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. Don't be unbelieving. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. Now, go to the next verse. Then Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Next verse. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. See, Thomas, let me tell you where you're at. Thank God you believe. I mean, that's a good thing. Thank God. But you believe because you saw. But let me tell you what. There's a level of blessing that is higher. Listen, you and I, if all we are going to say is, God, I won't do it until you show it to me, then we are going to walk in a different level of obedience and a different level of blessing than God wants us to. God wants us to be able to direct us with not only something that we see, but with something that we hear. Amen. See, God wants to get you off. What's the side aspect? The side aspect is this thought of, you know what it is? It's a degree of carnality. I can only be led on a flesh level, on a carnal level, on a sight level. Does this make sense? God says, I don't want to lead you just on a carnal level. I want to be able to lead you at a spiritual level. My words are spirit and they are life. I want to be able just to tell you what to do and you do it. That I don't have to show you, but I can just tell you. Remember the guy who said, he was going over to, Jesus was going over to his house to do a healing of somebody in the house. And the guy says, you don't have to come. All you have to do, Jesus, is speak a word. And what does he say to that guy? I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, stop. Let me tell you, dude, you the man. Because let me tell you what, I've been around a lot of these, and if you look it up, what he's really saying is, I've been around a lot of these religious people, a lot of these churchgoers, but you impress me because you're deeper than a lot of the churchgoers that I know. See, we can get dull of hearing. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we can become dull of hearing. Remember when you were first saved and you were so quick to be obedient to God? If you told you something, you're like, oh, invite people? Man, boom, you were out there with flyers. You were out there with tracts. You were sharing. Why? Because you simply heard God say, this is important for you to do. Amen. I like the guy who got baptized. He's like, well, what, you know, he's looking around. Well, there's water here. Why can't I get baptized here? Amen. See, a quickness to be obedient to what God has asked us to do. Amen. Not this, you know what? God wants to be able to, you know what God wants? God wants an army. The Bible describes us as an army. God wants an army that it's, you know what? You ever been part of a team and not everybody's on the same team? I mean, they're on the same team, but they're not acting like, you know what I mean? I mean, what you know, the coach says, here's what we're going to do. And, you know, why don't we do this? And why don't we? Everybody's got a different idea. I remember when the Lakers, I forget all the guys, but they had some good players, but then they acquired some other good players. And they remember when they got Karl Malone? Remember this? And they got somebody else. Who else remembers who they got? Do you remember who it was? Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. Gary Payton. They had a good team, but they got Gary Payton and Karl Malone, and they were like, and everybody was like, oh man, they're gonna be so awesome. They're gonna be the greatest team in the world. You know what I mean? I don't even think they made the playoffs that year. Playoffs? I don't even think they made the playoffs. Maybe they made, maybe they're out right away. Here's why. Because listen, a good team, a quality team, you know what, doesn't require even the best players. Amen. But a quality team, you just get the players all buying in on what the coach is saying. I hear coaches all the time, and they say, you know what, our team is so awesome. They all bought in with what we wanted to do. Is this making sense to anybody? See, here's what I'm saying. God wants to orchestrate an army where everybody in the army is quick to do what God says to do. You know, here, I want you to go there. I want you to do that. I want you to come here. I want you to serve there. I want you to help Pastor out in there. I want you to help Pastor Tamara out over here. I want you to do, boom, and everybody's just quick. It is, you know what I mean? And I talk to people sometimes. They're like, oh, Pastor, I would, but I can't. Pastor, I would, but, you know, that's not, no, you don't understand. That's not my expertise. That's not what I'm gifted to do. I read somewhere in the Bible where it says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? When Pastor Bradford asked me to be a children's pastor, can I tell you how much experience I had as a children's pastor? Like none. Like I think at Mesa Bible Chapel, once a month I taught three kids. You know what I mean? And now Pastor Bradford is asking me to be a children's pastor, over a pretty substantial ministry. And I didn't really feel like it was my forte. You know what? My niche. So what did you say to him? I said yes. I said, Pastor, why did you say yes? Here's why. Because what I knew that God had called me to do was to support Pastor Bradford in that place. And what I also knew is with God, all things are possible. And so I just thought, you know what? And what did I start to do? I said, Father, help me. Help me to figure out how to do this because I don't have a clue how to do it. How many know that spirit of humility, God will get in that mess real quick. Not mess, but he'll get in that dynamic real quick, right? But the Bible says he resists the proud. You know what? Oh no, Pastor, I'll do it, but I'm only anointed to minister to this group. Well, what if we need you over in another place? Will you be humble to allow the person in charge to direct you? You know what? Because what I see in the Bible, it says that if you can't be obedient, if you can't believe in somebody that you can't see, how in the world is you supposed to believe somebody that you can't see? Right? How are we supposed to be obedient to God when we can't even be obedient to a man that God has placed as head of your church? Oh, this is good. Amen. Does this make sense? And I'm not, this isn't about me. This is just about an orchestra of being able to, the church ought to be the most quick, easygoing group to work with in the world. Amen? I know some people who call themselves Christians. They're some of the hardest people to work with. Do you know them too? I'm asking, do you know that too? Okay, they're not sitting next to you, right? I was going to tell you, that's not this group. Listen to me. That's not this group. That's not this group. This group is people who are easy, quick to be obedient, and easily directed from the Lord. Amen? And easily directed from their pastors. Amen? Amen. See, that's what God is looking for. And many times we want to see the blessings. You know what? Before we make the investment. No. You need to make the investment. And you need to put your trust in God. See, when you're obedient, it is showing that you put your trust in God. And God loves that. He loves it. He loves it. That man, again, who said, you don't even have to come over to my house. All you have to do is say it. And I'm not worried about it. You don't hear, see, somebody who's worried about it says, no, you got to come. You got to come. For sure, you got to come. Somebody's not worried about it says, no, all you have to do is say it. I trust in what you say. How many trust in what God says? How many trust in what God says? Keep your hand up. Okay. Then if your hand's up, then here's what that means. See, as you know, I set you up. Here's what that means. That means you're going to do what God asked you to do. Why? I don't know if I had my hand. You know what? No, you can't do the one but not the other. It's listen, and that's what our actions exposes us of what we really believe. You can put your hands down. Sorry. Watch this. Our actions expose what we really believe in. I know you believe that chair will hold you. You know why I know you believe that? Because you're sitting in it. Your actions expose what's really going on. Are you learning something? Let's turn to Matthew 13. Let's turn to Matthew 13. Or let's turn to Romans. Let's turn to Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing. Pastor, I know that scripture. Do you? Well, let's look at it. So then, faith comes through hearing. Everybody say hearing. 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 You know what that, you know what ing means? Ing means there's this constant. You know what? You say, how many ever God spoke to you something and it was like so unbelievable? Can I tell you what? When your prayers gets answered and you're surprised, that's not a good sign. How many ever God answered your prayer? You're like, I can't. You. This is what how your testimony is. I can't believe it. I mean, that wasn't good. Come on, be honest with you. You prayed it, but you were like, I'm not. And all of us have been there. Lord, I believe. And then right after he says that, he says, Lord, help my unbelief. Yeah. Well, at least he's being honest. At least he's being transparent. I was believing something, but you know what? That unbelief can come in. How many relate to what I'm saying? Well, this is a key. How do we get rid of that unbelief? Because let me tell you what, it's not okay for us not to trust what God says about anything. It's not okay. It's not okay for us not to think that we don't have to forgive, or think we don't have to give, or think we don't have to tithe, or think we don't have to, you know what, walk in grace with people. Or whatever God is already told us in his word that you have to do. We can't just say, well, I ain't doing that part. You know, I don't like that page. You know what I mean? We can't do that. So how can we, but we've all been there. So what do we do? Well, here's what we do. We look at the Bible, who's going to tell us how we fix it. This is a great fixing book. Amen? Here's how we do it. We listen to God over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and at some point in time. Guys, be listening. Be very conscious to who you're listening to. Don't listen to pastors who don't believe stuff in the Bible. Well, I know the Bible says by your stripes we're healed, but everybody knows that that's just for some. God, everybody knows God doesn't heal everyone. Can I tell you what you need to do? Turn it off quickly. Or don't turn it off, change the channel. Because you say, yeah, but Pastor, a lot of pastors believe that. I know, but Jesus doesn't believe that. Amen, amen, amen. So, you know what? But we've all been there. Can we be honest someday? Can we be honest today? But we've all been there, right? So, God, help my unbelief. Well, God is. How does he help our belief? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes through hearing. There, listen, if you will be disciplined to listen to the Word of God, 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 there's things that you will have hard time believing, but now they're easy for you to believe. Why? Because faith comes if you listen to it over and over and over again. You say, Pastor, that's just, you know, God just brainwashing you. Well, he is washing your brain, amen. Amen. But your brain, but let me tell you about my God. My God's a real God. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Who were we listening to? Hawkins. No. Dawkins. Richard Dawkins. He's a famous atheist. And me and the interns were listening. I wanted them to listen to a debate. No, it wasn't a debate. It was a talk about at the University of Arizona. I'm telling you, there's so much unbelief at these universities. So much unbelief at these universities. And they had all these scientists. You know, well, Dawkins was one of the scientists. And the question is, you know what, do you think if we could find out the origin of how life began, do you think that would help these crazy religious people to accept science? And Dawkins was like, no, I don't think anything will help those religious people. Here's what he said, because those religious people believe it because, you know what, they have been taught it ever since they were young. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness. Watch it, because many times these people will throw at you the very thing that they're doing. I thought, you talk about not looking at science. I don't know who taught you this, but I guarantee you got it when you were young. And you will kung fu grip this Darwinism, and it is so unscientific, but it doesn't make any difference. I told these interns, I said, I want you to listen to this. I said, let me tell you one of the reasons I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen how much they don't know. And you know what? Is this not true? And this is what we heard in the 45 minutes. Well, we really don't know. Well, we really don't know. Well, really, we don't know. Well, in 10 years, we think we'll know. We really don't know. We really don't know. And it just was like, oh my goodness, sit down. Amen. No, can I tell you what? This is true. God's word is true. And we need to wash our brains with doubt and unbelief and cynicism, and it probably won't work, and it will never happen,
and it's not going to happen, and it's not going to happen to me. We need to sit that down. We need to. And how are we going to sit that down? Here's how we're going to sit that down: by renewing our mind according to the word. And God speaks to us and says, you know what, let me tell you about you. I believe in you, and I trust in you, and these promises I have given to you. That's how we're going to do it. Don't sit there and go, well, I just don't believe. Do something about it. Recognize your responsibility. Are you learning something today? Flip on over to Matthew. Matthew. This is so good. Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, chapter 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak in these parables? Listen to me. So many people think, let me tell you what my problem is. My problem is you just can't understand God. God's too big. And of course we think that, because we listen to people on the radio say, well, you know what? We'll never really understand God. So Jesus, y'all believe Jesus, right? This passage is so misunderstood to say exactly what he's not saying. And he said to them, and they're asking, verse 10, and the disciples came and said, why do you speak to them in parables? He's talking about the parable of the sower, and he's about to explain to the disciples the parable of the sower, but he hasn't explained it to everybody. And they're like, hey, like, are we the Mo's? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo? Eeny, meeny, miny. We're the Mo's. We're like the in crowd. We're like the ones, we're the special ones that you have chosen. Look what he says. Verse 11. He answered, said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Oh, God does do that. No. Stop. You know where you get bad theology? By not reading after taking one verse and stopping. Keep on reading. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever has an abundance, that he will have an abundance, and whoever does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him. Verse 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says. Now, what God's saying? He's saying, guys, I'm going to show you an Old Testament prophet or prophecy that explains what's going on with them. Are you guys ready for this? Why can't they see? Why won't they hear? Well, up to this point, there's people who turn to this exact same passage and say, see, God chose some and he didn't chose and he chose others. He chose others to hear and he chose some not to hear. Well, keep on reading. Keep on reading. Verse 14. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. See? God's choosing. Keep on reading. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. All eyes up here. Everybody say, have grown dull.
Have grown
dull. Now, have grown dull means at one time they weren't dull. Is that not right?
Yeah.
At one time they weren't. At one time they were hearing God. Is that not right?
Yeah.
Listen, you be careful, those of you who've been coming here for 5 years, 10 years, 8 years. 4 years. You come in hungry. Because let me tell you how my sermons are going to get real good. Okay? You get hungry. Amen? You get humble. Come in ready to receive. Come in saying, man, I tell you what, Pastor Drew's anointed, Pastor Tam's anointed. They are awesome. They're a bomb. We're blessed to have them. Let me tell you what, you're about to get a good sermon. Amen.
Amen. Now watch, you come in with an attitude, I'll tell you what, even Pastor was kind of a little boring last week. I hope he's got his act together this week. You know, let me just get you your pillow because you need it. Amen. See, listen, it's not on Jesus' word. Learn this. It's not on Jesus' words. It's on their ears. I'm not saying that I don't have a responsibility to bring it every week, because I do. But what I'm saying is, so much of it depends on what you're hearing and your willingness to be hungry to hear. Are you catching this? Now watch this. See, they used to be able to hear fine. How come they got dull in their hearing? Well, it's going to show you. Watch this. Verse 15. For the hearts of these people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, they have what? Who closed their eyes? Does the Bible say God closed their eyes? No. See, you got to read it. God says, let me tell you what happened. Their eyes got dull because they closed their eyes. Has God ever, you're gonna have a tendency to say the religious thing. Has God ever offended you? Let me help you out. God has offended me many times. Telling me, I remember being in fights with my wife and thinking, man, I tell you what, she don't have a clue what's going on. And then in my prayer time, he said, oh, yeah, she had a clue. She was right. Now, I can take that two ways. I can either be offended and not walk in the blessings, or I can hear God, humble out, and walk in the blessings of God and receive it. See, remember about 4 weeks ago, I showed you the passage that says, blessed is the man who is not offended. You know why they closed their eyes? They got offended. And we have created Christianity where it's not whatever the Bible says, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. It's whatever God says that I want to do, that's what I'm going to do. It's everything's got to line up. God's will and my will has to line up. Jesus is our example. He says, you know what? Jesus is our example. God, I don't want to go to the cross, but I'm smart enough to pray whatever your will is. See, I'm going to adjust my will to your will. Are you catching the difference here? It's not like, oh, well, I don't like this page. I don't like this page. I don't like this page. And I'm not talking about what you say, because we know we don't say that. I'm talking about what our actions are. Because it's your actions that God is looking at. Remember the people in that same passage where they're saying, we did this, we did that, we did this. Jesus says, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. What's he saying? I don't care what you say. I know what you did. I saw what you did. I saw that you really trusted that seat because you sat in it. Did you trust me to restore your marriage and do something that was completely counterintuitive? Now listen, married couples, I know I'm talking, and these things might challenge you. But there's errors, or here, let me make it to everybody. Or our finances, because our finances challenge us a lot. I don't, it doesn't make any difference what you say. I know what you're doing. I see it. That's the aspect. That's what God says. And so these people, they shut their eyes. You know why they shut their eyes? Because they don't want to see it. You know? It's like, you know, like the four-year-old. You know what? Right? We can all do that. But what God is looking for, you say, Pastor, what does that have to do with expect? It has everything to do with expect. Where, watch this. Because expect has to do with you believing God. I'm not going to lean into my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge God in all my ways. You know what all your ways means? You know what it means? It means your relationships. It means your finances. It means your emotion. It means everything. It means how you drive. Well, I can drive however I want to drive. Exactly. You could do whatever you could do whatever you want. You can cuss if you want to. Come on. Y'all look at me like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, Baz. I don't know what you're talking about. Man, I wouldn't even play you in poker, Jackson. And listen, and maybe that's that. Maybe that's something that you, maybe you don't cuss. Maybe you've gotten over that. Well, what is God asking you to do? Because let me tell you what, whatever it is, this is deep, right? Whatever it is, here's the thing. That's what he's asking you to do. Amen. I tell you, that was deep. Whatever he's asking me to do, that's what he's asking me to do. What does that mean? It means I don't know what he's asking you to do. Here's what I know, that he's really smart. And whatever he's asking you to do, that's what he wants you to do. So do it. And do it quickly. And do it. And I didn't tell you this. Last thing I want to say. And do it with a good attitude. You know? Do it knowing that it's going to be a blessing to you.
Man, I'm going to give this up. Man. I'm going to give this up to Jesus. I'm going to give it up to Jesus. It's so hard.
Oh, shutteth your whineth upeth quicklyeth. No.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You know what the Bible says? Don't you dare. Don't you dare look back. Listen, don't look back at your days that you used to get high with. Oh, it was so cool. I used to smoke joint. You remember, have a bong. It was so awesome. So stupid. You mean, used to sleep around all those good old days. Those weren't the good old days. Stop thinking they are. Recognize when these guys dropped their nets and followed God, it wasn't a demotion. It was a promotion. Amen. Amen. Sweetie. Tamara.
I want to read some words from Jesus. It's good stuff. Yeah, this is in John chapter 17. And listen to what he says. He says, now this is eternal life. That in itself is kind of interesting. And don't you guys want to know what he's about to say next?
Oh, yeah.
Now this is eternal life. And he's about to say something. So pay attention. Because y'all want eternal life, don't you? And that's what we all want, right? He says, now this is eternal life. That they, he's talking about you and me, know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. So he's leaving. He's finished. And listen to what he's saying. He finished his work that the Father gave him to do. You and I are, Jesus was an example to us. So you and I have the same assignment that Jesus had. What's our assignment? Well, 1 and 2. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and might. And love one another. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? Did Jesus do that? Yes. Was he an example to us? Yes. So he had his assignment that he had the commandments to love God, love others. And he showed us how to do that, and he taught us how to do that. And then he had work that God had for him to do. What was his work? Well, he had the work of the cross. He had the work of making disciples. You know, he needed to train a group of disciples that would carry on the teachings and carry on making disciples, being an example for people like he was. And we have the same thing. We need to love the Lord God with our heart, soul, and might, and love others. And when he says that they would know you right there, this is eternal life, that they would know you. That know is that they would be intimate with you. That there would be an intimate relationship with God. Whose responsibility is it for us to have an intimate relationship with God? It's ours, and the word makes it clear. Here's what he says. Seek me while I may be found. Yes. Who's the seeker? We're the seeker. We got to seek him. He's telling us to do something. Seek me while I may be found. He says, draw close to me, and I'll draw close to you. Who initiates? We initiate. In Amos chapter 5, listen to what God said to the Israelites. He said, you're wasting your time in worship. God's straight up, huh? He's honest. That's love. You ever have someone love you by being honest with you? So he tells them, you guys are wasting your time in worship. I hate all of your showings and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals. What's it all about? It's all about being intimate with God. It's all about knowing him. How do we do that? We got to seek him. That responsibility is on us. That choice is ours. How many times in a week, how much time does God have? See, put God first. If we just thought about it for a minute, if we thought about last week, okay, how much of my time, because we all only have 24 hours, I say that all the time, right? Some people have a very intimate relationship with God and some people don't. It's an individual's choice. Because we choose what we're going to say. We choose what we're going to listen to. We choose who we're going to hang out with. We choose where we're going with our time. We choose what we're doing with our money. It's all our choice. And so if you don't have an intimate relationship with God, then you're probably making choices outside of what would bring that. And so it's our responsibility that we would choose those things, that we would be close to him, that we would know him. And that's how we get eternal life, in knowing him. If you pay attention in the Word of God, it says that those who know their God have peace and grace. Grace is the favor of God. There's so many benefits in knowing who God is, in pursuing him in a relationship. But we have to believe that and then make the choices that do that. There's an author, his name's Gary Chapman, and he wrote a book called 5 Love Languages. Probably many of you are familiar with it. He's a Christian author. But he talks about different people feel loved in different ways. You know what? And what makes one person feel loved isn't necessarily what's going to make another person feel loved. But God tells us his love language. He tells us how we love him. You know, there's probably many women in the room that got flowers for Valentine's Day. I didn't. You want to know why? I don't really like getting flowers. So if Pastor Drew wants to send me flowers, I mean, okay, it's nice, but I don't really feel super loved by flowers. It's just not me. Do you understand that? Do you see that? But there's some things that are, listen, there's no one in the room that when they think of whether you're thinking, okay, if I have someone, you know, in the future, I want my spouse or my spouse right now, whatever it is, you know what? You don't feel loved if they're not loyal to you, do you? Loyalty is one of God's love languages. It's one of yours too. I mean, there's some things that are consistent with everyone. But then there's other things that just, you know what I mean? Jimmy Evans says, and we quote this all the time, he says, you're not a good husband or a good wife until your husband or wife says you're a good husband or wife. If everyone in this room thinks I'm the most awesome wife in the world, but Pastor Drew doesn't, am I rocking it? I don't think so, because I'm only wife to him. So if he doesn't think I'm a good wife, then that's not good, right? How rocking it am I? And I can think I'm a rock star in my own mind, but that's in my own mind because I'm failing. So God tells us his love language is that we would have a repentant heart and that we would obey him. See, he wants this. David said, I did write it down. David said in Psalms 51:16, listen to what he said. He said, God does not reject a broken and repentant heart. God wants our obedience. He wants our loyalty. Does he not call people adulterers all the time? And it's all about what they're valuing and where they're at. Does he not? He tells us his love language. So we need to examine, do we love God? Because you can think you're a rock star, right? But if you're not loving God in the way that he said, we love him, are we loving him? Not so much, huh? So that's for us to examine ourselves. You know what? Know that whether or not we know him, whether or not we're intimate with him, that's on us. And we need to take those steps that we would do that. Amen? I want to pray, just pray with you right now as God is pulling us all into that place that we're getting real with ourselves. We're getting more on point. He lets us know how we're on point, what we do, you know what, how we get on point. And that's what we're all seeking. And so we've got the Holy Spirit who helps us. God wants you. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants a great relationship with you. He wants you to know him. And he's going to help you as you ask. Does he not tell us to ask you? You know, we need to ask him and just start doing what we know to do right from the written word. Because the word tells us all kinds of things. Amen? And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So it's exactly the same. It's not changing. And so let's pray and let's ask God, you know what, that we've come here. We're here for a reason. I don't want God to say, you know what, like he said, you know what, to the Israelites when he said, you know what, you're wasting your time in worship. Because I hate all this show that you're doing. But you see, they weren't honest in their heart seeking God, right? And that really, guys, everything, if we'll do that one thing, number one, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If we'll just focus on that, everything else will come from that. You can't love God and not end up loving people. You know what? You can't really love God and not having stuff, these weights that so easily beset us, start to fall off. You can't love God. What is love? Obedience and repentance, a soft spirit towards him. You know what I mean? An obedient and soft spirit towards him. You can't do that, that he won't start just saying, okay, hey, this right here. You know what I mean? I mean, he's cleaning me up. Year after year after year, moving me from one place to another place, and things that used to be, you know what, a hassle in my life that are not a hassle anymore. But then there's other things. He's going, hey, what about this? And he's loving me by helping me, you know what, just become more and more and more like Jesus, which is just close. It's right the path straight to him, that I'm just working on my stuff. Amen? I wanna ask you to just raise your hand so that God would see our acknowledgement. You know what, if that's you, you know, just say, God, I want to. You know, Jesus, he looked right up to God and said, hey, let them know you. Father, I want to know you. I want to know you more than I know you this moment. And that doesn't mean, for many of us, we're not all messed up. You know what? But do we want to pursue God? Do we want to know him more? Father, I want to know you more than I know you right now. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to spend time with you. I want you to help me, Father. The things that I have happening in my life that you're not pleased with, help me, Lord. I'm asking for your help. I'm asking you to lead me and guide me. I want to be closer to you. Holy Spirit, convict me of the things that are grieving to you. Convict me of the things that you'd like to see changed. And Father, may each one of us that is saying that we want to know you, that we understand that that means that we're going to just begin to obey you more and move closer towards you. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, that you're moving us to a better place, a better place. I thank you that you are our God and that we desire to be your people and that we will hear you and do what you ask us to do. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. There's so many things. You know what? I was, God is good. He's good. He's good. We have to understand that, because to obey him, we have to trust him. I think that's where Pastor opened up in the beginning. We have to trust him. There's all kinds of stuff in my life. It's that relinquishing that control. It's that submitting to him. He's going to be the controller of my life, not me. And for many of us, we have secret places in our life. It's like, oh God, this is all for you, but this particular area right here, I got that. And this area over here, I'm really not relinquishing that to you either. And if that's you, that's not okay. You know what? God wants all. Is he clear in the word? Does he not say that? I'm not making this up. The Bible's clear. He wants it all. And we have to trust him to give him all. There's so many things I have in my life, so stuff, benefits, comfortings, all kinds of situations that have come because I trust God. And you have to trust him. And to trust him, you've got to know he's good. He's a good father. This morning as I was sitting, I just began to just think of my own life and just things that I've been through and things that I'm going through. And it's like, you are a good father. Listen to this song. I can't sing it and I won't sing it for you, but I'm going to end it with this because I know you all know it. He says, you're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And then what does he say? And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. And if that's all we need, that is the gas in our engine, we've got to thoroughly believe that. We've got to know that he's good, and we've got to know how much he values us. And then just begin to just dive in 100%. No hidden areas that we're holding back from him. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm excited what God's doing. You know what, in each one of us, as he is just calling us closer and closer and closer to him. And I pray that you'll answer that call and just begin to just take those steps closer to him. No one can do it for you but you. And if the person next to you is getting closer to God, that doesn't affect you at all. You know what I mean? You've got to do it yourself. It's an individual relationship. Amen? Amen.